This is Jamie Dyer welcoming you to another edition of The Crowcast. And I'm joined by Andy. Welcome. First things first, you sent me an email saying you'd like to be on the podcast. Thanks for that. And that you've been following the Quo since 1968. How did that begin for you?
It began with the very first record he made, and he in the intro to Pictures of Matchstick Man. I heard that intro and that hooked me from the very start. I know exactly where I was on the night, what I was doing and everything. It's vividly in my mind completely.
Wow. So you have quite vivid memories of that then?
Yeah, it was just the start of the intro, the riff. And I thought, wow, what a great riff guitar lead. And that was it. From that moment on, every Quo, I got to have a Quo record. I got behind the record as soon as it came out. And Matchstick Men was the start of it.
And a couple of years later, when they changed their style, what did you think?
Oh, for the better, definitely. Once I heard, started with Mark Callies, heard the album Mark Kelly, and they got rough and heavy. And that was it then. I mean, from then on, Power Driver and Hello, so on and so on. For me, they got better and better. There was never another band for me. Quo were always my band from 68. I first saw them in 68. They were doing the tour of the Mecca Ballrooms. I was 17 at the time, and we used to go to the Crystal Ballroom in Newcastle-on-the-Lyme every Saturday and Monday. And we went on the Monday, and there they were, Quo were on the headlining with the Herd. I never remember, I see them there. The only thing that night that I was a bit upset about was they never actually played Pictures of Matchstick Men. They said that they needed a special guitar to play it, and they couldn't do it. And that was the downside to that first time seeing them. But since I have heard, they have played it in the recent gigs that I've been to, and that, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm sure that someone will be able to enlighten us on perhaps what that special guitar was, or what exactly its capabilities were to play that song.
Yeah, I wondered at the time, but I think it might have just been that they might have used a flange to make that sound, you know what I mean? And probably, I don't know, they're more technatic than me, so. But it was just, I was a bit sorry that night that they didn't play, because that was the record that started off for me, Pictures of Matchstick Men.
So how many times did you see them after that?
I've seen them every year for the last 53 years. I mean, I'm 70 now, and I've made sure that I've seen them every year. I saw him in the 70s in Stoke when he used to come to the Vicky Hall, Trentham Gardens. They've done an outside gig there at Trentham. I saw that. I've been the NEC, Manchester Arena. I've never missed them. They've been to other discos or theatres in Stoke, the Heavy Steam Machine, which is mainly, of course, heavy music. I've seen them there quite a few times. But I've always made sure that I see them every year since they've been touring.
Wow, so you've seen every tour. I mean, have you sort of one that sticks out more than others, or are they all just as good as each other?
No, every Quo gig, I always say when I take somebody to a Quo gig, if they don't like Quo, I've taken people, I've said, come with me, you'll see for yourself. You cannot sit down at a Quo gig. Once that music goes in, you're up. You're going. Your head's going. You're singing the songs. You know all the songs. You just can't keep still. So you can't.
A lot of fans that I've spoken to have said exactly the same thing. Now, for those listening in audio, you may not, you won't know this, but Andy and I are talking to each other over Zoom. You'll know that. And I can see all of your collection behind you. And you sent me a video beforehand, which is incredible. I've never seen such a full collection. Have you been collecting them at the time, or is it retrospectively?
No, I've most of the albums I've got, I've collected at the time. There is a couple that I missed. I had a bad patch in my life around about the 90s, and at that time, music wasn't like the best of my interest, but I've got personal problems. But since then, I have bought albums to make my collection up. The last one was, of course, where is it? Thirsty Work, somewhere about down the corner over there. I don't know if you can see it. That cost me £200. That's the most expensive album I've spent money on. And I'm one album short. Did you know, on the website, the Quo have released 33 studio albums. I have 32 of them. The only one I'm missing is Bula Quo. And at the time, I didn't know it was coming out on a vinyl. I pre-ordered the CD disc and didn't see that they were doing a vinyl edition of it. And I do know where there's three copies, which I'm in the process of trying to get one of those copies, which will then fill my collection up of Quo albums on vinyl.
Yeah, there are some quite rare albums you've got. I mean, even just the first two, The Psychedelic Years, are quite hard to get hold of in their first edition.
Yeah, I've seen it on eBay. You can get them. But like you say, it's every one that I've got is the first edition. I just wonder sometimes how much the collection might be worth. And I don't know if anybody else who's got a collection, whether they've got a better collection than I've got or not. Nobody has got in touch at the moment to say that they've got a better collection than me. But it'd be interesting to see if anybody has.
Yeah, and a lot of you, you've got albums, but you've also got loads of singles, some of which I've never seen before.
Yeah, all the singles on each side, you can't see them at the moment, but yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. Are they retrospective, or were you buying them as you went along?
Most of them are retrospective. There is a couple again that I have missed in the 90s that I missed buying, and I'm always on the internet. I'm always searching for singles that I haven't got that I missed it. It's between 94 and 2000 when they were going through a bad time, the band were in it, they split up and everything. And BBC, of course, weren't playing the records. So some of the records got missed. I'm still trying to get them. There's a lot are deleted now. So I keep on searching to see if I can, who's got one out there that wants to get rid of it or wants to sell it. I'm always searching for them. According to the statistics, I think they've made 100 singles or they've had 100 chart singles. I think I've got about 78, 80 out of the 100. So I'm 20 short, but it's not one to try to get them singles that I'm short of.
And are you planning to just get the UK releases of these, or do you go around the world as well?
I have got a couple from around the world, but no, it's where I can get them, to be honest, Jamie. If they're abroad and they're the right price, I'll pay it and I'll look for it. Just to make the collection better and better, if you like.
Do you ever get these things out and play them, or are you on streaming these days?
No, if I'm playing anything, it's CDs. Some of the albums you can see have never been opened. They're still sealed. There's the early ones that I have played, but a lot of them are untouched, not been played at all. So they're in mint condition. And I haven't got a vinyl player now. I did have one. I haven't got one now. So, but if I did have one, I'd probably play some of them. I tried to protect them because the CDs are just the same. So I don't mind the CDs because most of the CDs you can get anyway. But the vinyl ones, if they get damaged, then you've got no chance of replacing them. So I don't want anything happen to me vinyl collection. Hold on.
That's understandable. Because like you say, you've spent a lot of money, you've taken a lot of time over them, and you know they're precious to you. And with that in mind, do you have a particular album you listen to more than the others, or is it...
Are you going to ask me that question? So I'll be honest with you, I think the most one I play is Pile Driver. That's probably my favourite one. I don't know why, but it's probably my favourite one out of all of them. Every album they've made have got certain records or singles or tracks that stand out. But I think Power Driver is the one for me that stands out the most.
I think a lot of fans would say the same thing. It's a very popular album.
Yeah, I think it's because when they went from Mark Alley's to Power Driver, after Dogger Two Head, sorry, and Power Driver was like the one that really got into the 12-bar boogie shift that they're known for in the tracks like Don't Waste My Time, Big Fat Mama, epic tracks. I mean, no better than that. So they aren't.
No, and obviously, it's worth pointing out that we are recording this. This is one of the first that I've recorded post finding out that Alan Lancaster has passed away.
Yeah,
what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Devastated, because I always think, like most Crow fans, the original four, plus if you count Andy Bowen, because he's been with them for years and years, that's the Crow. That's the Crow that everybody knows. I mean, I've seen the new Crow. Yes, they're excellent, but they're not like the old Crow. I'm old-fashioned. The old Crow were the Crow. Alan Lancaster, John Gochlin, Francis Rossi and Mick Parfitt. That's the Crow that I knew, I grew up with, and I loved the music. And they'd always be the Crow to me. I was just sorry when they did the Frantic 40 reunion, I was actually out of the country, and I missed that too. And now I really, you know, I'm a bit mixed. I didn't get to see him again on that last tour.
Well, it's lucky that they recorded two albums from it.
Yeah, I've got the albums. But it's not the same as seeing them live, seeing the old Crow, the four of them plus Andy Bowen there, and knocking the songs out, rocking. You know, it's to me that's nothing better at all.
No, there was something quite magical about those tours and just the general thing in the air. I mean, do you have a lot to do with the fan community?
Not really. You posted your video on the front the Ultra Crow thing. I remember that, and I posted the video I sent to you. I posted that when I first posted it. I had that many messages from people abroad. All over the world saying what a fantastic collection it was and they hadn't seen better. And, you know, that meant a lot to me, that Crow fans could see the collection and see what it was like.
Well, it's amazing. I saw the video and I was blown away because there's just so much in there. And obviously you've gone through albums, live albums, compilations, singles. What about solo material? Have you managed to collect anything?
No, I haven't really bothered with any of the solo thing. It's because, I don't know, I'm solely a Quo. I know they split up, Francis did his and Rick did something, but it wasn't the same as seeing them as a band. It didn't really mean much to me, because I know Quo as a band, and that's how it'll always be, unfortunately. So it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, your enthusiasm for the band comes out in spades, and not just because I can see your whole collection there. It's
my family say I'm nuts. They know that I'm Quo. That's it. They say to me, like, you know, oof, 12 bar blues, three chords. But well, Quo to me are, you know, I class myself. I know people who might listen to this cast a bit later on. I qualify me as Crow's number one fan, because there's no other band for me. Crow are my number one band and always will be till the day I die. So they will.
So with that in mind, do you listen to a lot of other music, or is it strictly?
No. Not really, no. It's. I mean, I've got a stack of albums behind that you can't see that by other bands, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Kinks. I don't. Really is Crow is that it? That's to me. Crow is it? And I say when I go out in the car, it's CD, Crow CD, nothing else. When I go out,
are you planning to see them on the next tour?
Yes, hopefully when it starts again, I shall be there. I know they're only doing small venues this time, but no doubt I shall be getting a ticket for somewhere off my family for Christmas. I nearly always get something off them for. Go see the band. at Christmas because they know how mad I am at overflow. So,
well, I mean, you're on the right podcast. It's justified. It's, you know, that loads of people have been on here and have been as enthusiastic as you about the band. So you're definitely not alone.
No, I know that. I know there's people, like I said to you, that there's people that have gone to the gigs and have waited outside for hours and hours to meet the band. It's something I wished I could have done when I was out there, but through work and that, it's not been possible to do that, unfortunately. I would have loved to do that. And I remember you said that of all the people, that the fans that they've got that they know personally, the only good thing is I have met Francis Rossi. I went to his one of his I Talk Too Much gigs, and he signed Pictures Mastic for me, which was, I've got that in my collection now. That'll be the pride and joy for till I die.
And that's the single, right?
That's the single, yeah. I took the single and I took the album thinking he might sign both, but he only signed one. So I got him to sign the single, and he told me he never liked the single. He said he hated it, which is strange because then it was the start. It made their career. It started them off and got them to where they were, actually. So, well, I suppose that's his prerogative, if not liking the single.
I think maybe because it's so radically different from what they went on to do. But there are some big gems, you know, in that era of Quo, in that early era.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the guitar riff. I mean, if you look at all the Quo records, they've all got a riff that Quo fans recognise straight away. And I think that's one of the things that when I first heard it, the lead guitar, the riff, that's what got me when I heard that. It blew my mind out, and that's how it's been with Quo ever since. You always look for that riff with Quo that you know it's a Quo riff.
Yeah, there are some amazing riffs in their catalogue, early, mid, and fairly recently. What did you make of the Backbone album?
I liked it, really liked it, yeah. I mean, I've actually got the Liberty Lane as my ringtone on my phone. I think that's brilliant. Again, it's the riff. The riff hits you straight away as it starts the song. The riff gets straight to you, and that's what it's all about. The song itself is a good song anyway, so it's a typical Quo song. So it is.
I could talk to you for hours, Andy, about this subject, and I know you probably feel the same way, but I shall call it there. But normally what I like to ask guests is, if you were to recommend an album to somebody to listen to, perhaps wasn't into Quo, what would you suggest?
I say my favourite's Thingy, but I think if I were listen to Hello, I think Hello would be a good album to introduce because of the heaviness of some of the songs on that, and not only the heaviness, but they've got other songs, Claudia, Middle of the Road, that, you know, that would say that they're not just the musicians in their own sense, but they can play other types of music, not just the 12-bar boogie. They can do that, and I think that's an album that might show that off, because there's a subtle songs on Hello as well as the really good heavy ones that get you going, get you rocking.
Claudie, they used to play live in the mid-70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a great song. It's you know, most people would go for 4,500 times and stuff like that, which is a normal Quo thing. But yeah, it's a great album. But that's the problem. From the mid-70s or the early 70s, nearly every album they released went to number one. Yeah, from Power Driver right through, they had loads of number ones, albums straight after each other. And that was Coach's best.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you, Andy, so much for being on the podcast today. And please do come back and we'll chat some more.
Anytime, Jamie. Yeah, yeah. Anytime. Thank you for having me. And it'd be nice to know if anybody out there has got a better collection than me. I'd love to know if they have.
Well, all the details of how they can contact will be in the description. So we'll find out.
Thanks, Jamie. Thank you.